Hi. In this ASI cast, Brian Jacobs discusses the development of programmatic with Sanchit Sanger, Chief Digital Officer at Mindshare for the APAC and MENA regions. After setting out what he means by the term, Sanchit describes how he believes such problems as do exist currently will be resolved when each consumer media touchpoint is connected and planning and buying can be conducted through one process.
Okay, well, hello, everybody. This is Brian Jacobs, and welcome to this latest ASI podcast. And I'm delighted to say that we're joined today by Sanchit Sanger, who's the Chief Digital Officer for the APAC and MENA regions at Mindshare. So hi there, Sanchit.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks very much for joining us. So today we're going to discuss issues around programmatic in every sense, programmatic. So maybe it's one of those words that if you ask 10 people, you get 12 definitions. Maybe we could kind of start off by asking you kind of what you mean when you use the word programmatic. What does programmatic mean in your language?
So programmatic in our language very simply means automation of a method which was more manual in nature. So connecting supply and demand using technology. And automation, as simple as that, there is nothing more to it. There is still a little bit of manual intervention required, but by and large, we are simplifying a process using technology, which was done by human beings. Now it's being done by machines.
Right.
I also believe you mentioned issues around programmatic. I don't think there are any issues around programmatic as such, Brian. There are only opportunities around programmatic. And the issues exist for people, I think, who have a bias around technology, a negative bias around technology replacing human beings. So I don't think there are issues. There are opportunities which are immense. And all we need to do is clarify some of those myths and ensure that we use technology to its max potential.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would argue that there's any issue at all around programmatic being a smarter and much more efficient way of trading. Or issuing orders or any of those things,
sure.
So taking over the sort of what was a very, very tedious sort of manual process and automating it. I don't think anyone has any problem with that. I think the issue, such as it is
sure.
That some people seem to suggest that the sort of end point of programmatic, where obviously we're using smart data in very sophisticated mm-hmm. manners to help to drive the trading.
Sure.
Some people are suggesting we've sort of got there now, and I'm not sure we quite have.
Correct. No, so I absolutely agree with you. I think we'll get there when each piece of media that the consumer touches is connected and bought through one mechanism. Mm-hmm. Currently, we are buying a lot of the digital pieces, which can be display or video or native, through this method. But I think going forward, it'll hit its sort of zenith when everything's connected and you are able to make scientific decisions around audiences and placement using technology as an intermediary.
Mm. And that of course suggests not just the placement, of course, but also mm-hmm. the making of decisions around the planning of it, or broad sort of intermediate planning of it, of each media form. And I don't know how far you think we've got as an industry, as it were, towards putting the sort of audience data piece in place. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that happening, and is it happening fast, do you think, or not fast enough? Or?
Yeah, so I don't think it's happening fast enough, but lots has to do with the data that the clients sit on, because that, I think, is the missing piece in a lot of these puzzles that mm-hmm. we are trying to stitch together. And it's that first-party data, the client data, which to a large degree the industry has not been scientific in structuring and consolidating and solving. Once that data piece gets solved, I think the whole magic of programmatic will come to life. Because mm-hmm. then you'll be matching existing purchase behaviors, existing patterns around certain IDs, and trying to explore what else they do, and can you talk to them in the right language, in the right context, at the right time. I think that's when the magic will happen. So currently, I think lots of clients and marketers have recognized the need to build more of the first-party data structure, so they can find these individual or these IDs in different environments and talk to them in the right language.
And do you find, I mean, you raise a very interesting point, because I mean, there's obviously there's data and there's data, and we're talking about, at the moment, we're talking about client data, so first party data owned by the client through, collected through whatever means.
Sure.
But then, of course, there's also obviously first party data owned by publishers or, you know, broadcasters or whoever it may be on the media owner side. And then, of course, you've obviously got research data as well. But just sticking for a moment with the client data, I mean, there's been there's been some reluctance of from clients, I note, to share their data with third parties, be it agencies or anybody else, actually. Do you see that being a trend that is starting to break down, or do you think that that will continue?
No, certainly breaking down, Brian. In our case, for sure, I think most of the mindshare clients are more than willing to share their first-party data in whichever form it exists. And what they are trying, they are asking us to do is to consolidate it and make sense out of it, and basically match IDs that sit in different silos as such within the organization in marketing. Of course, there are certain sectors where that data is sacrosanct and they will never release. So if you look at banking and insurance and any kind of financial transaction client, which is driven by norms and which is driven by policy, which restricts them to open that piece to any third party or any external partner. And we respect that completely. And so those are ones which we respect and we don't want to touch. All we ask them to do is, okay, why don't you build personas using your own data and give us a glimpse of, like, what kind of a broad profile would your potential customer or your potential consumer sit under? And we'll try and see if we can find them in environments which are either Google or Facebook or Twitter or programmatic, and hopefully bring them to your doorstep.
Yeah. So do you think that there has been quite a lot of press, of course, around certain large advertisers taking certain elements of programmatic, be it sharing of data or be it even trading in-house. And there's been quite a lot of, as I said, there's been a lot of press around that. I mean, is that something you think is being rather exaggerated and there's just not that many clients doing that? Or do you think that is something that more clients will look at?
So there are two schools and opinions of thought around this. There's a personal opinion and I can give you a broad industry opinion. My personal opinion is you should take services in-house that you're best suited to perform. And I think programmatic is only one of those elements in the overall media and advertising structure that's talking to the consumer as such. So taking one piece in-house will not change your marketing function and make it magical, is my belief. Yes, if you genuinely want to take everything in-house, manage your own data, manage your own trading, one thing which you will face strong headwinds against is trading volume. Are you big enough as one advertiser? Are you dominant enough as one advertiser to command the best rates and the best placements across specific private marketplaces, specific publishers? If you are, then it's a great idea to take that in-house, move search in-house, move content development in-house, move your social in-house, and stitch all the pieces together. Moving one piece in-house will only create more dissonance for the consumer and for the marketing operations as such.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point you're making there about the consumer, because, you know, increasingly we're noticing that, you know, consumers are, I mean, to the consumer, everything is advertising, basically, if it's got a brand associated with it, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, whether it's PR or a brand story or, well, pretty well anything, actually, it's seen, it's perceived as being advertising.
Exactly, so, Brian. Let me just add to that one more portion. Sorry. Let's take a real life scenario. Let's say if you're a car manufacturer and you've taken the programmatic business in-house and you're executing across different exchanges and different techniques to reach customers based on what data you sit on. There is a whole world out there which you're not touching. So the same consumer might see an ad of yours on Twitter. He or she might see a video of yours on YouTube. They might see your display and video on outside the YouTube environment in the sort of exchange stuff. They might see native advertising about the same product on a Yahoo Gemini or Outbrain or any of these native networks. So you're hitting the consumer with 25 messages without any frequency. So it might create dissonance because you're only controlling one piece of that puzzle instead of controlling all pieces scientifically. And I think that's where the agency business has a very significant role to play, because if you're managing multiple levers around different consumer touch points, your ability to keep frequency and reach and reduce any kind of dissonance that you create with multiple messages is much higher compared to an in-house desk that you're running in a company. And the other element is about talent. Why would any rock star in today's business want to confine his or her exposure to one company or one category doing the same thing, Groundhog Day, over and over again? What is in it for people who join these in-house desks in 2-3 years' time? There's no career progression. Mm-hmm. You won't move them to become marketing heads. You will keep them as programmatic managers, maybe become programmatic directors, but their exposure becomes extremely limited. So talent management, I think, is another challenge for these advertisers who are considering these options.
It's interesting. I'm very substantially older than you, and I remember when this has been tried before, you know, with in-house media operations.
And it's failed.
It's failed. One or two have succeeded. There's been a lot of attempts made by, well, quite famously by Mercedes-Benz a few years ago. Quite a few years ago, there was an operation in Holland that was actually owned by a consortium of advertisers that flared for about 5 minutes and that disappeared and so on. So I take your point about talent. What do you think about combining? I mean, you made the point very, very well about different data sets, combining different data sets if you're a car manufacturer or whatever. But there's also, of course, things like CRM. If you're a car manufacturer, that's a massive, massive thing. Are you starting to build CRM links into what you're doing at Mindshare?
Absolutely, we are. One of the most critical pieces of data that we touch is the CRM links and the access that the DMPs give us in activating these segments across the World Wide Web. Mm. And if you look at the travel industry, the hospitality industry, the auto industry, they are extremely rich data sets and behaviors that they have access to. And we want to leverage more and more of that. So we don't talk to the same customer who's already bought the product and push the same product again and again. Mm-hmm. So we want to talk to them, either upsell or cross-sell or not talk to them at all, because not everyone buys a car every year. So if you bought your SUV, you just leave them alone and then talk to them about servicing and other elements if you find them in the programmatic space, or talk to them about an upgrade of sorts. So we are extremely conscious of that, and we want to engage more, go deeper with these data sets. It can be CRM data sets, or it can be any other first-party data, to ensure that, as I said, we want to have the consumers get more relevant advertising messages and take them to more richer content experiences. It can be on the website, it can be on the app, and all we want to do is harness some of that data that we are sitting on and our advertisers are sitting on, and make the consumer journey more seamless.
Mm-hmm. Tell me, just to end, I mean, we've obviously, well, I say obviously, I think quite a lot of our listeners to the podcast will be aware that next month we have a piece of legislation coming into effect in Europe, the GDPR.
Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, well, I know it initially isn't going to impact your regions, but one suspects that there's a chance that it might at some point in the future, or something very like it might come along. How do you see GDPR and similar legislations affecting what you do?
Yeah, GDPR will impact us. Honestly, Brian, 85% or 80% of the business of Mindshare is global clients. So if it affects one region, it is bound to get deployed as a policy or as a method in other parts of the world. I think GDPR is a good thing. And GDPR, I think, will also give the consumers flexibility to opt in or opt out of certain data exchanges that are happening. And one of the big clauses therein is if you acknowledge to share data, then it's fine for the publisher or the app owner to use it and be explicit about how they are planning to use it. So as far as that is concerned, I think it'll be a cleansing of some of the dirty things that the industry has done in the past. Mm-hmm. And because they've sat on undecisive approaches or sort of murky approaches to use data without explicitly taking intent and consumer expressions into their scheme of things. And we are a big believer in cleansing, and we are big believers in consumer experiences made by choice rather than just being deployed without any knowledge of their data being used for certain purposes. So globally, I think it'll impact us. And I think all we can say is it'll impact us for the better, not only as an industry, but for our advertisers as well.
If you step outside from Mindshare for just a moment, I mean, do you think that from a legislative point of view or from a sort of governmental point of view, GDPR will happen in parts of Asia? I mean, do you see that?
Not in the near future, Brian. We'll follow some of the diktats that come in from our global clients. We'll try and enforce them. But Asia is, in my personal opinion, 2 to 3 years out from any such data legislation being implemented. Mm. We don't even have opt-ins, like serious opt-ins on emails here, which 20 years back were a norm in most parts of the Western world. So we have a long way to go.
Okay. Well, Sanjit, thank you very much indeed for joining us today. And I know the delegates at the forthcoming ASI event in your region will very much look forward to hearing from you. And thanks again for spending the time with us.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for having me. And look forward to seeing you guys and some of the listeners at the Singapore event. Cheers.